Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Monday, everybody. We made it to the beginning of a new work week. Thanking God for the opportunity to gather again. I want to say thank you to Batty Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York City, currently with isolradio.com. You can hear Batty do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing New York City with the best of live R&B events, all over the best of venues in New York City, as the CEO of Track One Entertainment. To my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, DJ Drumwrecker, Rodney Williams, Monster Miles, and a great activist slash panelist from Toledo, Ohio, Deacon Betty Williams. To my social media supporters, the Real World Black News and Discussions Group, to the Black Love and Conversations group, of course, my On the Edge Listeners Lounge, you guys have been fantastic. I want to say thank you to the Black Mamba group, What About Us with Professor Carlton Jones, Capitalist End with Marvin Young, and to the pro-black topics and every single one of you that has been out there getting heavily involved with my pre-broadcast discussion questions and our panel. I want to thank my Fat Five starters that always comes in and make sure that this discussion gets going. So let's get started. Salo Jenkins, to Altariq Atkins, to Professor Carlton Jones, Hakeem Zayed Bey, Tylon Washington, and Patrick Irvine. All of you have been a phenomenal part of discussions and on and off the screen, so I want to thank you very much for that. I want to say thank you to Ms. Rochelle Ruffin. She is my first official On the Edge official merchandise mug purchaser. She's an avid supporter on and off the air since God knows when, and I want to thank you for being what everything of a sister means. So, we are going to get started, ladies and gentlemen, right after our pre-discussion song. However, tonight we are speaking about what everybody's been buzzing about, Mr. Donald Sterling and his racist comments. Tonight's topic is Donald Sterling's not-so-silver tongue. What should Black outrage truly be? Now, everyone else is talking about the outrage of the racist comments himself. That's not what I'll spin on today. As a matter of fact, I'm not planning to give that moron too much more publicity because I think he's had enough. However, we are going to be speaking tonight on where we should truly put our outrage. Should it be on him or on us for accepting it over and over again? Not just him. He's only our catalyst example tonight because of the fact that he's hot on the presses right now, and that's the big rage. But it's all an example of what we've been speaking about and what we continue to do to ourselves. So, with that being said, the question on the table tonight is, do we get upset with Donald Sterling, his racist comments, or do we get upset with ourselves for once again allowing it to happen? And we will get into all the semantics of it after the break. So, today I'm going to go out with a little bit of a classic by... Let's see what we have here. Okay, I'm going to go out with Kenny Rogers and Sheena Easton. We've got tonight, when we get back, after a word from Bits and our sponsors, we'll get this party started, okay? So don't go away. Keep it locked with Katie. Be back in a minute.
Look at the stars now.
you stay.
Deep in my soul, I feel so lonely. All of my hope fading away. I'm known for love, like everyone else does. I know I keep searching after today.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends. I'm your host, KD Barnett, and we are going to get started on this discussion tonight. We have heard the stories about this big hot topic where this age-old L.A. Clippers owner of a huge league, the NBA, National Basketball Association, home to all of our favorite teams, probably one of our most popular sports, who has publicly been, let's say, he has publicly been exposed for having said racist remarks about his girlfriend publicly posting herself in association with black men. And wait for it, people. She's black. Wait for it, people. He's the owner of a sport that, maybe I'm mistaken, but 90% black. He's, quote, been quoted to say, care what you do, you can sleep with them. That's not the word he used. I was going to say it, but I figured, well, I wouldn't do that. You can sleep with them for all I care. You can admire them all you want, privately. I'm glad you admire Magic Johnson. He should be admired. However, admire him privately. Just don't post yourself on social media with him and don't bring him to my game. Okay. Well, we've heard all this. We heard that he's a racist. We've heard racist remarks. We've heard him say the most deplorable things to show how he feels about black people, in particular blacks, because that's what he said. He pleaded with his girlfriend to keep her association or admiration out of public media and don't be associated with them. Why would you do this to me? All right? We've heard all that. It's deplorable, it's disgusting, and we are outraged. But where should we be outraged? Should it be with a man, if we want to call him that, proven himself to be who he is? He hasn't hidden his color. This is not the first time that he's been on the public hot seat for having stated some deplorable things against blacks. This isn't the first time we've heard that this rich man is walking around owning real estate property that's equivalent to slums. This isn't the first time he's been exposed for saying that black people stink and Mexicans stink and that's why his property stinks. Let's go a little further. In this property that he owns, there was a paralyzed elderly African-American tenant who could barely walk. And when his workers, I believe it was, came to the apartment, they found her wading through 2 feet of water in a faulty refrigerator. And when she complained to them that she needed repaired, his response was, I'm not going to do that, just evict the bitch. Okay? So we have that. We heard that before, and he was honored with an achievement award by, wait for it, the NAACP. In case any of you haven't figured that out by now, the CP stands for colored people. I mean, in the eyes of America, black people, African-American people. All right, now that we've gotten the pig out the way, let's start talking about where we should be angry. Because I don't want to give this jerk any more publicity than he deserves. That's right, America, I called him a jerk, and I'm being nice. I'm going to talk to you, my people, and I want to see what it is you feel. Because the time for being aggravated is over. The time for outrage to the same thing that we've been hearing and seeing for centuries is over. How often and how many things do you need to be placed in your face for you to get that it's not going to get any better and that this is just what it is? What more do you need? So let's get started with what it is we've done in reply. Oh, we were outraged. We definitely took to social media and we spoke about it. We definitely had our conversations about it. We definitely sat there and said, you know what, we're angry, we're pissed off, we're really over the top about this. Let's go to the root of what we're supposed to be outraged with. If you decided that you're going to choose a tiger that you just picked up out of the jungle, you happen to be savvy enough to hog-tie a tiger from the woods, the jungle, wherever it is that they are living, and you decided, because they're cute, and they are beautifully colored, and they're fascinating, that you want to bring them to your condo apartment and make them house cats. And every day that you fed them, they not only wanted the food you gave them, they wanted to take a bite of your arm. And every day you just said, oh, okay, I understand. You're not trying to attack me. You're just upset because you're in the home now. You're not in the jungle. And then the next day you go back, and he snaps at you again. Oh, you know what, I'm very upset with you. I'm being nice to you. Why are you trying to snap at me? But you keep them there. You don't get rid of them. You don't send them back. You don't ask anybody to come and take them down. And then what happens? One day he reaches you. He scratches your arm the hell off. He bites you, or, God forbid, somebody near you has been badly damaged or killed. Now you're angry. Now you want to go and shoot the tiger, or you want to go and bring the tiger down. Why? That's in his nature. The tiger was doing every damn thing that you expect the tiger to do. Did everything that's expected of him, that's in his nature, to do. And I brought that analogy up to tell you that that's who Donald Sterling is. He's a pig racist. He's a rich man who gives not a damn flying hell about anything that doesn't interest him. He doesn't care about the fact that the players he has up there is exactly the color that he is outwardly denouncing, degrading, ripping apart, and dehumanizing. Spike Lee, bless your soul, put it well. He's used them as slaves, and he's old enough to believe he's still on the plantation, a real live one. Now, let me bring down, and I've got quite a group of things to bring to you, and I want to see what it is you're supposed to take from it. Let's close our eyes and pretend that this is not about race, but you are on the receiving end of everything I'm about to say. Just close your eyes, because everybody tends to forget about their main focus when we're talking about race, because you know what? Everybody's up in arms. If this man has been exposed for the dirtbag that he is recently, previously. A. Why, foremost, would he then have the ability to have a black woman on his arm to be able to not only get her after all that he's been exposed to be? Why would any African-American or anybody who's the subject of his horrible epithet and garbage, what would make him attractive enough to even be considered worthy of your association if you are a member of the target that comes out of his mouth? Why would he even be able to obtain somebody from that victim pool to land yet another bout of garbage too? That goes to what we accept. If he can befriend, professionally attach and associate, shake hands with, make deals with somebody as great as Magic Johnson, and then turn around and stick him right in the middle of all the other little faceless people, what makes you think he gives a flying hell about you? Okay, well, Magic Johnson, he's got a black woman on his arms to be able to publicly say a black round of racism once again. But you already knew this. You heard this before. Now, after that first bout of stuff, he was honored by the NAACP for a Lifetime Achievement Award. What exactly did he achieve except sticking another group of minority people, black people first, into a group of slumlord properties, to which he did no repairs, to which he did no checking up on as a landlord, no follow-ups, no repairs, but he took their money. And he lived richer and sadder on their money. But we honored him. An organization put in place to be us, our advocacy group, our uplift group. Yes, I know all of you people who are out there that is very much into studying all the histories of our people is going to remind me that the NAACP is not run by a black person. I get all that. But the point is, it's out there with colored people listed as their meaning, their reason for being. And they gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award for putting us in the slums. What is that? That's America's way of saying that that's where they think we belong to. But we stood back and we took it. Number two. After this outrage, after our NAACP got away with honoring this man for bringing us down yet again, after he's been exposed, where was the outrage to force the NBA to do what suddenly now seems to be the big thing? Now they're going to come down. They really have to consider this one because this one's a big one. This wasn't one of those little excusable things that we expect of them, that we can put under the rug, because now the outrage is going far beyond us. It's not just the civilians either. It's fans. It's staff. It's co-owners. Oh, by the way, we're going to get to those little co-owners. And by the way, in case you haven't all figured out, I'm pissed the hell off. But not with him. He's a dog. Why is it that we are able to still be able to sit in a stadium and buy his tickets? I'm sorry to those of you who think that it's you can't live without your entertainment and that you can blind yourself to the whole big thing by saying it's about the players. The L.A. Clippers can't do a damn thing about what they're doing except what they've done because he owns them. He owns them by contract. He owns them by brand name. So as much as they did as little as they could, which if they, I feel that maybe they all could have sat out, because I can guarantee you that as much as their contracts state one thing, I think that the NBA will have a really hard time with suing and suspending every single one of them if they chose to take a further stand. But I will say this. Doc Rivers, I commend you, because you, under that big old gun, that noose of property ownership by this man, at least had the guts to say something from the standpoint of just being a man. You said a little more than was allowed in your legal team contract. So kudos to you from being in the court and being able to say something. Why is it that we are still buying their merchandise, that we are still taking our light bill money to go and buy him tickets to get his yacht bill paid off quicker? Why is it we are still standing there with merchandise that belongs to him? Why are we still sitting there clicking on our TVs for this game after not once but twice and then some? Why are we giving ourselves, ladies, to these type of people when clearly they don't give a flying hell about you and they view you as nothing? That if you had killed their dog, you'd be the one they'd want to go after while they worry about the dog. And let's go to his wife, who said, I'm in no way a racist. I do not condone my husband's deplorable behavior or comment. I think it's despicable. It's a crime against humanity. But what the hell did she do? What was the big focus in all this? She went after the girlfriend to sue because guess what? She's got too many expensive gifts from her husband. She set up a poor old man. She walks around making a habit of getting these big-time sports people under the cloud of blackmail to expose them. I will say this about Ms. Viviano. All that crap about she didn't leak the tape. Smart move, lady. Yes, you did. Smart move. Because I'll tell you one thing. There's no way in heaven, hell, or earth you're going to convince me that her phone just happened to be tapped with a private conversation between her and Rockface. Next up, all of these icons, Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Mayor Kevin Johnson, formerly an NBA player, all of their statements were mandatory, little obligatory, entertain the press comments. Not one of them, I believe, is heartfelt, because not one of them has given a damn thing back to the black community. Not one of them took a real stand. Not one. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, now who are they again? Popping their little heads up like whack-a-moles to get a bite out of the opportunity and not really put something back into the community? We stand back and we take it. Say whatever you want. Oh, good luck with this one. Oh, people boycotting the games, good luck with that one. That's the mentality they expect of you. We all come out of our little hole, pissed off, say a little something, throw a little thing, go right back in and get right back on that ticket line. Kudos to Jalen Rose. Kudos to Magic Johnson. Kudos to Larry Johnson. Big up to Spike Lee. Mayor Kevin Johnson, shame on you. As the mayor of a place that is predominantly black, as the mayor of the town, of the home of the L.A. Clippers, you couldn't even answer the question from your own standpoint as a man. You are deflected and deferred to the opinion of the players to do what? Save your ass? You didn't even defend the whole idea of your people, period. You did nothing. None of you did anything, but I will give Magic Johnson my hat. I will give Larry Johnson, who stated a different thing, but was still powerful and still coming from black pride and black outrage, that we need to obliterate the use of us in anything but an all-black league. How dare we sit back there and get pissed off for about 3 seconds and go right back on the line? What, we did our part? Is that what we did? We got on Facebook. We posted something, and it was a long message, too. It was long. And you know what else? We were on this for days. Boo-hoo, rah-rah. We did this. We did something, boy. And right after I did it and I logged off my computer, I went to the Clippers game. Oh, yes, indeed. I showed that white man. I showed my sons and daughters that we can, all we have to do is just be mad, but we can still look good with their products while we're doing it, right? That's what I did. That's what we did. Mr. Viano, you certainly showed the world how much you feel about yourself, because you became the known connected mistress slash girlfriend slash whatever of this dinosaur racist who called both of your cultures stinky people by specific name and even told you. You can admire them all you want. You can admire them all your life. You can F them for all I care. You can sleep with them. I don't care. Just don't bring them to the country club. Just don't bring them to the very bad basketball game that they make up. Don't do it. I don't have enough regard for you as a woman or a person to give a damn whether you give your body to somebody while you're with me. Just don't let everybody know that you're screwing black men in public. Don't do it. Why did you do this to me? I don't even want Magic Johnson there, and Magic Johnson is a huge thing. He's even my friend, said the racist to the cow. Yes, sir, Bob, he's my friend. But he's black, and he's not welcome here. Oh, and I want you around, because you, as much as I don't like your people or what you are, I don't mind sleeping with you. I don't mind you making me look good. I don't mind you being my horse and pony. I don't mind. So now, as I continue on with this, and I see there's a couple of panelists in, the question on the table tonight is this. What should we be outraged about? Clearly an outrage is necessary. But are we supposed to be outraged with somebody who's doing already what he's expected to do? Or outraged with ourselves for seeing it coming and standing in the pathway? And after we get hit, get up and go, hey, thanks for hitting me. Come back again tomorrow. Oh, here's some money in the process, by the way. What exactly do we do? Having a little bit of a freeze here and delays, and you guys are calling in, calling connections are just a little bit delayed. So as I bring you in, if I don't hear you for a couple of seconds, I do understand and do know that I do see you there. So just hang on just a sec, okay? We're moving in now. Spike Lee, we're just having a little bit of a delay connecting, guys. And I see you, panelists. Just bear with me. Spike Lee stood up and told Anderson Cooper. Oh, here's the other thing, ladies and gentlemen. If this had been Magic Johnson on the table with this big scandal, the question would be this. Would there be the need for this delayed review of the tape and the content? Would they be saying alleged anything? Would they say we have to first make sure? Would they not by now have cracked down on this man so hard to give up his ownership shares? Would this have been all the delay to have happened? Spike Lee said it best when he told Anderson Cooper, how many more things do you need to prove that this guy's a racist? What is the fear with people calling him what he is, an out-and-out racist? That is what we do, and we've heard from quite a few people on Black Awareness that's spoken. Professor Carl Tone Jones has spoken about it. Several panelists that are outraged, truly outraged with what needs to be outraged about, have spoken on it. Those of us that have had these cross discussions have spoken about it. And we continue. We continue to support. We continue to think more about our immediate hype than we care to think about how to solve the long-term future. We continue to keep handing them more parts of our world to cut off. We continue to do this. We continue to be okay. When does it end? What should we be outraged about? Do we blame a dog for barking? Or do we blame the person that keeps passing by and getting the bark or the bite that knows this dog is a menace? Is this what we do? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a brief silence while these technicians work on the wiring. Just hang with us for just a minute. Okay, thanks everybody for hanging out. I think that we're okay now, so. Let's get in. All right, our first panelist. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hello, Katie. This is Al Tariq Atkins calling from Dothan, Alabama.
Hey, Al Tariq. Welcome to the show. There's another panelist behind you. You'll be first in the mic. Hang on just a sec. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie, Al Tariq, what's going on? This is Professor Carl Tone Jones calling from Philadelphia.
Hey, Professor, how are you? Okay,
Al Tariq,
the question of the day. We already know the situation. Now, do you feel that we should be outraged with him for the racist comments, or do you feel we should be outraged with ourselves for pretty much going back into it, like head on?
Well, as far as being outraged with that man, the people that I feel should be mostly outraged, and of course I'm very displeased with what he said, but it's no surprise, and it seems like every corner we turn lately is always something to remind us of racism that's still in many people's heart. People throw it off and try to say, well, oh, that's just the way that he feels. That's just to dress some things up, to dress up a wound that's already been there. And the funny thing about it was he told a lot of truths of how a lot of people feel. He told the truth about how they treat people over there in Israel that's black. It's going on. They're not showing it in the media here in the United States, but I've seen the clips and all that stuff like that. He told a lot of different truths as far as how he said about it's the culture. You know, he's telling some true feelings in there. You know, and it's not just the rich white man. You know, this is how people have felt for a long time. But people had to be civilized when laws was put in place for us. That's what we must remember. Once they had to be civil towards us, then you couldn't just do what you used to do. You had to behave like human beings. So the appearance of civility and stuff has to be put on, even if, and as they say, tolerance was since I was a little boy, that they code language used forever. We had to be tolerant of other people. You know, and I thought it was all about love since this is supposed to be a Christian nation and all that stuff like that. But I guess people don't pay attention to that, you know, even though he's Jewish, you know. And, I mean, but no matter what religion you're claiming, you know, people's feelings are what they are. And he's just saying something that's still hitting deep within a lot of other people, but he just brought it out and he got caught. You know, and the other ones are not as stupid because they're not showing. He's had a blatant disrespect for athletes for many years. I've seen him talk about it today on SportsCenter and First Take, stuff like that. And he's had other little infractions of things that's happened too, or like how you mentioned. And, I mean, it's like, you know, what can you really do? The people who really need to be outraged is those ones who's making all those hundreds of millions of dollars like him. You know, of course, you know, and at first I didn't think that MJ was going to say anything because for years he never used to be into that over his whole career. He never used to say anything about anything that had to deal with social issues. So that was kind of a surprising thing to me, even with that. But like Charles Barkley said, which he was right, and I don't always agree with him, but he said that the other owners, he said, well, I feel MJ on his, he said, you know, as far as, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, and what Magic was saying, you know, especially since his name was brought up in the wrong way and stuff like that. But he said those other owners, all of them need to stand up. And I don't see a whole bunch of them standing up. And like how you said, alleged voice thing, you know who it is. Now you want to act like people do. To me, that's an insult. Because if it would have been Matt, if it would have been Michael Jordan that said something like that, I know they wouldn't have said, well, we got to see if this was his voice. Come on now. Why is it always something made up when it comes to us? And when we get an injustice said or done against us, it's always something else first, or we got to look
because
in.
I'm sorry, but it's because we let it happen. Everybody, and you know, yep. It's funny, and Professor, you'll be next after this and Al-Tariq finishes out. In the pre-broadcast question today, quite a bit of responses, okay? And one response that I received pretty much sums up our overall mentality about things. It is what it is. I think I made a mention of boycotting, because if we don't know by now, we're never going to be viewed as valuable human beings. Even property, we can be sold and traded off or whatever. Nowadays, it's just traded off or dispensable. Okay? But what they do feel is the loss of money. And that is the one thing we give them, is money, be it by selling ourselves out, by allowing the only reality shows they bring out to depict black people is the Basketball Wives, the 16 and Pregnant, the Real Wives, the Housewives of Atlanta, or Love and Hip Hop. Even if it's that, even though that may be part of who we are not all that. We are lawyers, we are doctors, we are good parents. We are not people that's always going out there to be baby mamas and baby daddies. But we allow that to be the only thing that will bring us money. And us doing that makes them money. We allow it. We go right back after we come out and we stream and go right back online or right back to buy tickets, to fill the stands, to be on TV giving them revenue by Nielsen ratings, to be giving them money through merchandising. Because we can't give up our games and we can't give up our sneakers. And I'm not faulting anybody for style. I am saying point blank, there are other places to get sneakers from. You can go a week without a basketball game because at the same time that one sport is playing, you can go find another one. I don't think everybody seems to understand how the Nielsen rating works. Certain families are given equipment to record what they watch at certain times. So that's how they determine how much viewership was given to a particular program. And by what demographic? And they get revenue from it. Altarik, finish your point. There's about two more panelists after the professor, and then I want the professor to go. Actually, let me bring in our panelists. Welcome to the show, Cole. You on the air?
Hey, this is Carlos Philip Jones with Stalo Jenkins.
Hey, welcome, Stalo. Let me bring the panelists behind you, and then I'm going to go back to you, Reek, and then you, Professor, okay? Hold on. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? This is Dean Call from Cali. How you doing?
Hey, stranger, what's up? How you doing? I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go on finishing out what you were saying.
Okay. So, the thing that I was trying to make is that, and I know that you said that we let it happen, you know, and as far as, like, the NBA goes and stuff like that, you know, sports in particular, you know, it's not even certain things because you have to be with all those players that's there. It has to start with how they feel as well. And they're there to make money. And it's a shame, but they're going to have to bow down when, you know, I'm looking at a playoff game now. When you look out there in that stadium and you see the certain faces that's there, I'm sorry to say, but a lot of them, they're not going to really care about what a lot of us think, because the ones who pay the most money look like that owner. And if we don't stick together as far as the people who's buying the tickets and all that, you know, they're not going to sweat it as much as us. Because when these certain issues go down, we're the one who has to sweat it because it's our people. And that, even if we show up and buy other people, as far as the fans even, the fans bring the money. So if the fans don't get upset, then that's enough. That's the issue that you're talking about as far as boycott. So if the fans are not boycotting anything about that, which I doubt they would do, then, you know, it's like, well, we're going to slap him on the wrist or however. I don't just see that it's going to be like a dynamic outrage over this. You know, but when it comes to us, where is it a big outrage? And even when it is, if we make one, we need other people to stand in there with us. And are they going to do it? That's the real question. You know, I'm looking at the Dallas game now, and when I see who's filling most of those seats, sorry to say, but it's European people. And are they really going to be against that? That's what we have to look at, too. You know, and that's the real, that's where that real answer's lying. Are we going to be together as one? You know, we always saying that we need to be together. Well, are we going to be together on united front for the right things or not? Or is that a reflection of how many other people see it?
Yeah, and I need you to speak a little bit more closely because you're getting a little shuffly down there. Okay, Professor?
Okay, well, I think I differ a little bit in thinking that we need to be outraged anymore. I'm really past the outrage part. I'm past being surprised. I've you know, seen, and I think a lot of us are aware, that this is a common thought process in the greater white dominant society that we live in. And it's a product of white supremacy that that thought process even exists. So when you think about it and you think about where these comments are coming from and where they're directed to, This should be a wake-up call for all of those brothers and sisters who continue to fight against the grain, who continue to fight this integrationist argument about trying to join the dominant society and trying to blend in into this melting pot instead of accepting that we live in a system of white supremacy. I mean, this man pretty much broke down the whole culture of white supremacy on those tapes. He pretty much described that this is just how things are to him and the people who live in his culture, and that's how they're going to be. He named, and just as Al-Tariq said, I've seen the clips, too, of how the Somalians and everybody else who were in Israel and the black Jews who are in Israel, how they're treated, beaten up. And terrorized on a daily basis. So I know exactly to what the Sterling was, who he was referring to. And in terms of what we should do in the community, I just think it's time that we start really looking to building up the community in terms of our economic prowess, where we take our money instead of spending it in the, at the Staples Center, where we take our money and we take it and build up the community to the point where we become an economic block, that to where we can start franchising our own sports teams, like Larry Johnson said, where we can start creating our own revenues and streams of revenue and so forth. That's where I think we are right now. We're way past the point of being offended. See, what outrages me is the actual fake outrage that these brothers and sisters are actually putting out there now, where they're upset about what this man said. When you consider who he is and his history of discrimination and racism and bigotry and things of that nature, none of this should have come as a surprise. And when you think about the fact that he is in a league where there's 31 other owners that has to deal with him vicariously throughout the years, and do you think he's a solo act? You know, and then when you consider the fact that most people go to jobs where their employers have the same mindset about them that this man has about his basketball team, you know, it's really hypocritical at this point for people to start all of a sudden to assume that now the stands needs to be played by the basketball players. Honestly, we all should have been at this point a long time ago, where we're deciding that we need to start moving and building up from within the community, that we need to stop being dependent on the dominant society to provide jobs and economic opportunities for us. We need to start doing that stuff ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I believe you and I spoke at length with this. I'm not offended by his comments, not because the comments aren't offensive, but because a dog will be a dog. Okay, and I fully expect of him what he's given. He doesn't know any better. That's who he is. My first offense was how in the hell he could even land an African-American woman, knowing what he was in the beginning. How would somebody in our culture be that low accepting of themselves that they would even be able to be put in a position where he could land some more shit like this?
Well, Katie, their winches have been around since slavery. And that same mentality is still prevalent today. And people get upset when you point it out in TV shows like Scandal and all these players and all these people now that all these black women have flocking to white men. People get upset when you mention that. But she is showing, and the tapes even show, how the same conversations, the same conversations could have been. You could have seen this in that movie Django. You could have seen this in 12 Years a Slave. It was the same type of conversation that he was having with her that he's having with that they were having with their bedwitch mistresses back then. So the fact that she's with him is nothing new. She's gathering the benefits off of the plantation and so forth. But at the same time, you know, she also did a power play. Because she recorded his ass with all this stuff, and he wasn't expecting her to take these conversations public. So, you know, I gotta actually take my hat off to her for one instance, because she actually played it one step better than the average bedwinch, because she went in with a game plan to make sure that she left with something.
She did a cat stacks on him.
And on top of that, we're now if we don't have yet another reality check, after all of the denouncing of the deplorable, despicable comments, behavior, attitude, and all the other things that Miss Rochelle Sterling had to say, I'm not a racist. I do not condone my husband's behavior. I think it's despicable. It's inhumane. However, her big motive wasn't to go after him or downplay it or try to uplift humanity and show what a human she was. Who did she go after? What was her big main focus? Suing the nigger wench for having too many gifts from her estranged husband. And mind you, estranged husband is the word that's being used. And my thing, professor...
Can I make a comment?
It's not your turn yet. My whole thing with it is not about the fact that bedwinches have been around forever. It's the fact that nowadays people are still thinking the same way about even being in that position. We are supposed to be the smarter generation. Why is it that we don't have enough self-preservation or self-care to say, I'm not going to do that. This man's a jerk. Let's take race out of it. Let's close our eyes and think about it from a victim standpoint. If you were an abuse victim,
well,
why would this be any more humane? That's my thing. We need to change our mentality and be outraged with the fact that we keep letting it happen. We're not standing up. We're not taking away the one thing we have that they need, our purchasing power, our spending power. That's the only way they're going to at least open their eyes to listen or open their ears to listen. That's the only way.
Yeah, well, see, Katie, we're too used to the whole reward system. And the whole reward system is basically set up to the point where you kiss enough ass and the, you know, excuse my language tonight, but I'm just really kind of through with a lot of things. But, you know, you kiss enough ass and, you know, eventually white supremacy will extend you a trinket or two, and we're satisfied with that. And a lot of times that's what's going on. And when you have too many brothers and sisters who refuse to actually identify with the fact that, listen, we can create our own system of trinkets and so forth and be better at it than the people who are providing it for us, you know, until we get to that point, we're going to continue to struggle, because we're dealing with a group of people that, honestly, the people who are the main controllers of this whole social engineering project, they really don't give a damn about black people as long as they can profit off of our labor, as long as they can profit off of us spiritually and financially. They don't give a damn about our welfare. And, you know, people are trying to befriend people and trying to get on the good side. And a lot of us are scared. And it's a lot of us that are afraid to counter white supremacy because they're afraid of white backlash. And I'm just to the point right now where I don't depend on the Diamond of White Society for my income. So basically, when you earn that type of independence, you also earn that type of spiritual freedom where you can do and say what the hell you want. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Absolutely. I just want to touch on one thing that you just said before I give the mic over to Salo. You had just said that they believe if they stay in and play the white supremacy game long enough that eventually they'll get a bone. But I can tell you one thing. If what this man did to Magic Johnson, someone that he shook hands with even in his rant fit he admired, but still turned around and said, don't bring him to my game. Him, a man that's already established as one, in one of the higher up positions in the NBA.
It
and
doesn't
he
matter.
Still was going to the Wolves. Exactly. And I'm saying for our people that if we don't get it from that example, what are we looking for?
See, here's the deal.
If you're sitting
I'm
at
shut
a
up
light,
after this part. Huh?
If you are sitting at a traffic light waiting for a green light and it turns green and you're still sitting there, what are you waiting for? Isle of Green? That's my question.
Well, you're waiting for Isle of Green?
Go ahead.
Well, here's the one thing, and I'm just going to shut up.
I was waiting for the order to see why everybody's tagging in, but you know. I'm just saying. Just putting that point out there.
No one was tagging in but the people who was on the mic, Dean. Go ahead.
I'm on the mic, but go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Professor.
Welcome back.
Well, I understand one thing, and I'm just going to be quiet. When we look at it, we consider evolution, we consider our community, we understand that there's a certain scale and so forth economically, and we think, and some people in the community think that when you reach a certain economic echelon or a certain level economically where your financial status or your business status should stay more, that you will be treated with more respect from the dominant white society. What people don't realize is people in a white dominant white society see that black person with the degrees and the businesses and all the millions the same as they see somebody in the projects who has nothing, with a million kids or whatever. They look at us the same way. So the dominant white society doesn't give a damn about what we accomplish in terms of business acumen and so forth, the properties and things of that nature. It's sort of like Don King said, you're nigger till you die, according to them.
Absolutely. Can I stay low?
Yes, absolutely. Can you hear me? Can everyone hear me?
You guys speak up for me, darling.
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the outrage and the situation, and I think this is a time where logistically we need to really look at how, these assaults, on the black people in America are going to be addressed. As for the players who turned their jerseys inside out, that was ridiculous. But we need to be looking at, okay, we want our players to play, all right? But who pays them? Now, they can continue to play, and they may have to continue to get paid, or somebody needs to bring a lawsuit against someone for a hostile work environment, and it needs to go to a Supreme Court. Now, most of them have signed things that basically give up partially of your civil rights, because then you basically give your right up, as like in many jobs with corporations, larger corporations, you give up your right to arbitration in a higher court of federal law to an arbitration court that, has the best interest of the corporation in mind. But you do not have to abide by that, So if all the players take a stand and do, a hostile work environment civil rights lawsuit, all black players, because now they see all the players that, up under him, now that they see that they're working in this, racially discriminatory environment, and then stop playing for them, and then re-host them somewhere else at a different stadium, have someone else host the stadium.
will they continue to play the tournament? Perhaps we pull the tournament, you know, we pull the tournament just out of their venue, period, you know. And, you know, it's different ways to do it. There are ways to approach it if we talk about it on a grandiose level. And that's all I really wanted to say.
Okay, Dean.
Hey, how's it going? Again, I look at this from another perspective as well. I agree with the brother who talked about fake outrage. You know, we got a lot of stuff going on in the world, but we mad because somebody said out loud that they don't like us. They just not that into you. You know, let's just keep it real. You saw the movie about they not that into you, about the women. You know, but, you know, now when white people, you know, say they're not just that into you, it breaks our heart or whatever. But look at Jackie Robinson, you know, back then, you know, he played for baseball teams and whatnot. And what if he would have just quit or walked away because somebody called him the N-word? You see what I'm saying? Sometimes it's bigger than that and
but
whatnot.
Jackie Robinson,
and, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's bigger than that. See, because we like – We like to think that race, you know, we are, what do you call it, pro or post-racism because we have a black president, but the reality is that we are not post-racism and race does still matter. So you can't just quit or ask the players to quit or whatever when this happens. What Jackie Robinson did, he continued to win. And when I asked, he began to win and, you know, and change the minds or stuff like that, the best revenge is winning. And you know, and I'll just put that out there, you know, and see how you guys feel about that. And my second point is no one's talking about this have and have not situation going on with his side chick. The breakdown of the family, like everybody was talking about his girlfriend, like, you know, like nobody knew he was married. This is a married man who's openly got a side chick out there and stuff like that. And no one is outraged about the family. It's like we so outraged about this fake outrage stuff about, oh, that white man don't like me. He said whatever, whatever. My world gonna stop. I'm going to talk about this for a whole week because the white man said he out loud he don't like us out loud. But the reality is you got a lot of married folk got their side chick out there, you know, and stuff like that. And that should be a question right there, you know, about the family and whatnot, you know, up to his wife and stuff like that. You know, we talking about all these other conversations, but he was on the phone with another woman that's not his wife, and they're in a relationship. And I'm wondering how do black people feel about that when we talking about family and whatnot, you know, and stuff like that. Because this fake outrage about racism, you know, they never going to like, you know, you got black people saying the same thing. So if we're going to, like, just get real with it, you know, those people in that time, we got black people, yeah, you can dance for us, you can sing for us, but you won't marry my child. And black people say the same stuff. So I'm not really shocked, as brother saying, this fake outrage stuff, you know. So I'll just leave that there and whatnot. See, how do you guys feel about the family breakdown? Like, these side chicks are winning in 2014. What's that about?
Well, there's two things that was brought up in the earlier part of the broadcast. And one of the things is I said that we should be outraged altogether that there's even a black woman on his arm to be the recipient of the garbage that he was already exposed for.
Right.
That's number one. Number two.
Don't bring it to the woman now. Let's bring it back to the man.
Keep
it to the man. Don't demonize the woman because she whatever. I'm not going to let you demonize the woman in this and whatnot, in this conversation.
You didn't say anything about
demonizing
her.
You call her a skank or whatever you want
to
call her. You know, you can't demonize her. You're a woman.
When I said that she should not have been there, period. Not about woman or not, as a black person, period, who is going to be a companion for somebody against blacks. And in addition, this man and his wife were estranged. They weren't a unit together. That's why she's going after this woman.
Well, can I speak? Am I muted? I'm just saying, like, my point is, why do everybody want to attack this woman instead of, like, re-victimize
the woman
again? Can I speak? I said people were just, you know, recalling this woman all kind of names. They were calling this woman a wench, a black wench, black whatever you want to call her. That's an attack. That's not giving us no props. I'm just saying. Let's keep it real. So I'm saying, like, So why you guys are demonizing the woman? Like, let's keep it where it should be at, on the man. He's the one that's doing what he's doing. It's not, the conversation should not be about the woman.
All right.
She put him on black.
Wait a minute, guys. Nobody.
She put him on black. Since I've been on this line, I heard you guys demonize the woman.
No.
Oh my God.
See,
my ears work. I heard what y'all were saying.
Hold on.
So I'm just saying, don't demonize the woman. Put the conversation where it should be.
The bed with reference is a historical reference that, like, people of, like, academia, you know?
Because this guy just ran a mile a minute while people were answering his damn question, and he didn't hear a thing. How can you hear anything when you're talking while you're being answered? First of all,
damn,
you
I missed
you,
Kate. That's what's up.
First of all, I think you should hit the archive, because nobody put this woman on black. The whole situation is on black.
Well,
and
I was listening. My ears work, but go ahead.
That was, yo, Dean, you ain't listening now. You ain't listening now.
My bad.
Nobody puts Viviano on black. She just happens to be in the middle of the example being led by the overall problem we people have. And that's what you're failing to get. It just so happened that her situation sparked all of this because he was calling his girlfriend to talk about her people. Matter of fact, funny thing is, he's been on black previously.
Behind
the scenes. Her cultures.
Exactly.
Here we go again. What the hell did you just hear me say if you're talking while
I'm talking? No, I was agreeing with you. I was like, that's right. Keep it on him because he's the one.
What
I was agreeing with
you. What I'm saying to you is this woman is both Mexican and African-American, and both times that this man was exposed as a racist was against Mexicans and blacks as a slumlord, where he's taking their money, and by the way, our so-called uplifting advocacy group gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award after that was exposed.
What?
So he got a Lifetime Achievement Award for putting us further down in the slums.
You're talking about an NAACP situation?
And that's what I'm talking about. And this time around, he was about to be nominated for a second time for Lifetime Achievement. What the hell did he achieve in his lifetime except to make sure blacks don't have one?
The thing is he has given charities and money and stuff like that, so that doesn't take away from what his money did, but he still, as a person, you know, let's be real, like, a lot of people have given money and donations, but their personal life, they can't stand you. Now, we got something called reparations, right? So like, a lot of people talking about we don't even want money from him as an apology, but the 48 laws of power say learn how to use your enemy. And I would say, like, let's get this man and pay some kind of reparations
right.
for his little comments.
Right.
So use your enemy
for negative comments.
1 second, because I definitely couldn't hear the question that went back, and he was still talking. So let me just get this together. Dean, the reparations would not be a problem for me either. That's the least he could do for being a lack of a human being himself. But I'm going to tell you this. You know what our problem is? While we're busy trying to make big stands and say, we don't even want his money, we're still giving him ours. That's my problem.
Well, that's why I say use your enemy. The 48 laws of power say use your enemy. Use this situation right now to get something out of this brother and whatnot. You know, don't let him out of this skin free. Like, the Commissioner Silver should make him pay a fine or whatever.
Yeah.
And don't be, and that black people that's on his high horse, I said black people to them. I was having this conversation on the panel today. I said, like, y'all want reparations from these white people that couldn't stand y'all, that's police brutality, that enslaved you, that did this to your mother. But if they offer you reparations today, you would take it. And you know they hate you. You know they don't love you. So let's just have a real conversation, you know, and stuff like that. Learn how to use your enemy, the 48 laws of power.
My problem, as I said before, is while we're busy jumping up like whack-a-moles with our problems against this thing, we're not doing anything about it. Now, everybody, when you say go do something about it, they get scared. So white backlash, like you said, Professor's one, but everybody tends to forget. We have this mentality of thinking we can go storm the mighty white mountaintop. Well, we've long been removed from that ability. But the problem is we don't use what we do have, okay? We don't get listened to until what we can contribute to their pockets become affected, because that's all they understand. And what do? That's the first thing we give them. Guess what,
right.
Nigga? You can't eat here. But I'll take your money.
Let's be real, the gas station was supporting apartheid.
One of the things that we have got to learn how to do in here is that we have to really respect the past, period. And damn sure respect the host.
Yes, ma'am. That is correct.
One of the things that we do is we lay back and take it. Somebody called into my show before and said something that's so very important. We are too forgiving. We are too accepting. We keep on bandaging up our own wounds and saying, it's okay, let's do this again. We keep on saying, oh, this was an accident. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Well, it is what it is. Guess what? You don't have to go buy Adidas if NBA Adidas is attached to it. If NBA is telling you, you're not welcome at their game.
But
how can you sit there and own a 90% team of people you can't stand, but don't mind them being okay to jump hoops for you and be the horse and pony puppet show and make people cheer to bring in more stuff, but then turn around and say, thank you, but don't come here. I don't know, and I bring this movie up all the time, Shaft, the remake with Sam Jackson. When they had Christian Bale going inside to the Latin drug dealer who said, I want you to sell my mother's stolen jewelry, because I think you can move it fast, because they knew of our ability to do so. And when he turned around and said, I can get this for you, no problem, but you know what I want you to do for me? I want you to take me to your people, because your people, they buy this stuff big. And he listened and said, wait a minute, so you're saying, like, bring you to my country clubs and stuff? He snorted, laughed at him, and said, right, no way. As far as you coming to my world with your garbage, absolutely not. As far as me stepping into your world and letting you do for me, absolutely. But you're never going to come into my world and mess up or take my block.
Well, let's be real. Sterling doesn't speak for all white people, right?
But can I add something?
Let's deal with Sterling. This guy right here, he made a comment. He doesn't represent all white people, first of all. So let's penalize this white rich racist. Like slavery was the same thing. They don't mind you working for them because you're making them money. They don't mind being around you while you're making them money. But after that, they go off and whatnot. You can't come into their quarters. So this isn't new. White people been treating black people like that. I'll let you work for me. I'll let you make me money.
I'm gonna cut you for a minute. We know this. And that's what I said. We are not going to be wasting time being outraged about what we know. I don't expect a dog to be anything but a dog. I don't expect a dog to be anything but a dog. And guess what? This man showed who he was with no remorse and no batting an eye. He says that he does it, and guess what? We're still there giving him ticket money. We're still there buying his merchandise. We're still there being his mistress. That's my problem overall, not her in particular, as a woman, not demonizing the woman. It just so happens this is a catalyst example. I'm talking about overall. This happens to us every day in every way. And every day in every way, we take it, even to the point where they can get a few of our own to stand there and tell us that we are a problem. I've gotten a few on this show. You know what the problem is? We've got to teach black children how to shut up. We've got to teach black children how to sit there and learn how to speak to people. We've got to turn our music down because the white boys don't like it, and that might be a problem. We've got to teach our black youth.
Well, it's dangerous now because you don't know what to do as a black youth. Do I run? I get shot if I run.
Right.
If I walk, I get shot. My clothes don't, they shoot my car and turn my music off. So to be black is dangerous right now in 2014. You can't play music. You can't walk. You can't run.
It's called generalization
right there, because you can't say all black people do it just like that white owner didn't do it.
Exactly.
Storm the corporate world. We can't do that, but we cannot fund them. We cannot fund them. We can't go and come do some big uproar and just whack people down and burn down their buildings. But we can make sure that they don't get a damn penny from us to go any further. We can say, we're not going to buy from you so you could come and tear us out of apartments you made us live in while it was roughshod. Now you want to kick us out so you can build it to bring more of your people in. We can do that. We can say that as hard as it's going to be, because Lord knows you guys all know I love my Knicks. But I can guarantee you that if it was the Knicks owner talking like that, I would have to be like, oh, my goodness. I have to hear about it to the people out there, because they're not going to get my Nielsen rating money.
It's not
going
to hurt him when we do that. To hurt him, make him pay a fine, because all we're going to do is hurt
make
the players, and they got
the
bills and stuff like that. What should Jackie Robinson have done? What should Jackie Robinson have done?
I'm talking about Jackie Robinson.
My question, what should
Jackie Robinson
have done?
Out there where racism was open practice allowed and
okay, what's changed? The same thing.
They can't just openly come up and lynch you. They do it in other ways. They let the police pretend that some major thing.
What should Jackie Robinson have done?
Jackie Robinson was in a time where there were public separate fountains and public separate restrooms, and a white man could smack your kid in front of you and dare you to do something about it.
My point was racism was systemic. It was legalized. It was there was a whole system around that, right?
So
what could he have done? The same thing today, you know. I'm saying, like, what can you can't legalize, like, you got freedom of speech, you got all this stuff going on, and he said he don't like you. What are you going to do, tell the team to don't go to work? He ain't going to be affected by that. Make him pay. You make your enemy, you know, use that enemy money, because you think he probably laughing, you making him not go to work, not making nobody go to games. That's not going to affect him, because that's temporary.
Really?
People got fake outrage for a couple of weeks, and then they go, my point was, when the gas station was supporting apartheid, we picketed for only a little bit, but then we went back to them gas pumps. So let's be real. We not gonna if your gas company still support apartheid or whatever, you still gonna go get gas. You might stop a day or two, but you still gonna go get gas. So let's like this fake outreach. Let's have a real conversation about it. They're telling them not to go to work ain't gonna affect them. We need to make this man pay. Because that's only gonna last for a couple of weeks and it's gonna be over.
I didn't say anything about the players not going to work. I said about the fans going to the games. And if you
that's not
gonna
work either. I just told you why that wouldn't work.
Oh, really?
That's
well,
not going to work.
Agree.
People not going to get – the fans is not going to get with you is what my point was. The fans don't still go.
If the fans stop going to games, if every time
just
that
like they went and got that
gas. If that particular team stop the fans stop going to their games, stop buying their merchandise, and they lost money, would that affect them? Would it work? What do you think?
Yeah, if they did, that was a part of what I was saying earlier. Though, when you look at the fan ratio, like when I was watching some of the game tonight, most of the seats that were filled were by Caucasian people, and that's just, when you go to most of these games, that's who basically fills up all the seats for the most part. It's not half black and half white. So they won't lose as much because, like I said, it would take Caucasians to not want to support those games as well, and they're not going to do it. They love to see us jump around and dunk the ball and all that stuff. So
can I add something?
That's what they're there for, and they pay big money to see it. So that's been a part of our history for them to parade around us, for us at one point in time when a lot of people don't even know. To walk around us in certain villages and section it off like we were little zoo animals. That's been a thing for them. It's been a pastime to watch us and our athleticism and marvel at that. But then everything else, they want us to stay in our place because that's entertainment. So they're going to entertainment, but when we start getting out of place, that's a little too much.
I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Professor, I'm going to pose the same question to you.
Okay.
Professor?
Yeah.
Do you feel that if we stop buying their merchandise and going to their games, at least to his, that it would make a difference?
Honestly, I think it needs to be more widespread than that. I think that it needs to be something where we the entire league suffers the consequence where people just stop supporting the NBA, period, until something more concrete is done. Honestly, I just think we're beyond that stage of affecting that type of change because, realistically, the black community is too fractured to deal with something of that mass scale. Yeah, as we stand right now, but to address that, yeah, I think if we league-wide stop going to the games, then the crunch would be felt because then you would have people in other venues. Can you imagine Madison Square Garden? Can you imagine the Boston Garden? All these places that routinely sold out, not having anybody, well, not having people of color there, it would affect their bottom line. Maybe not the way that it would, say, in some other areas, but it would affect their bottom line. But I think it, only if it was done on that scale would it actually be effective. Now, if you want alternatives to that, we need to really start looking into creating our own leagues and convincing our players to join those leagues, because what will happen is if we convince our players to join those leagues, then that's going to get the TV contracts because nobody's going to pay to see 10 white guys running up and down the court.
Yeah. Okay, that's going to be part two of another question. Taylor, I'm going to pose the same question to you.
Well, I think, okay, and I think this really shows us where we go wrong in starting to bicker and getting emotional, and you know, Katie, you know, you're doing a great job just keeping order, you know, right now what we're talking about, but I'm glad we're bringing it back to the fact we need to find an approach. I think the proper approach, I think we can make a change, but we have to have the proper approach. I do not think that us as fans buying his merchandise per se will have a quick enough, big enough effect as we're thinking. However, I do think that where we hold the power is the fact that we play in the game as far as our players. We support the players as the fans, we support them, but they hold a position. Now, they are compromised because they work for that corporation, but they're still black. We can't play these false sides and play false sides and want to argue about is this racist, that racist, because at the end, or is this, would we do this, would we do that, because, you know, at the end of the day, if the man is fined, let's have him be fined, use the money he's fined with, and create a watchdog agency over the entire NBA, a racism watchdog.
Yeah.
How about that? Or, you know, there's different approaches that could...
I'm going to take a small break. I'm up for that time right now, and I'm going to be back because I have a second question for you guys. So just hang out with me for just a little bit as I go to our commercial, and I'll be back in just a little bit, okay? Don't go away. Hi, welcome back, everybody. That was our official sponsor for tonight. It's an up-and-coming artist that's listed on our Saturday showcase, Miss Stephanie J. Note. I want to thank you for your sponsorship tonight, Miss J. Note, and that was one of her singles, up-and-coming, called All Night Long. Okay, getting back to tonight's topic, we are speaking on the hot-off-the-presses controversial story going on in the NBA right now with Mr. Donald Sterling, who has been in the news once again for racial rants, apparently between him and his girlfriend, where he's banning her or at least telling her he doesn't want her to be associated publicly with black people. And he mentioned Magic Johnson in particular as an example of what he didn't feel was welcome at his game. Bringing back our panelists in for the evening, just bear with me, listeners, as I do this. Al Tariq, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Hi, dear. Okay. J-Lo? Okay, wait. 1 second. J-Lo, you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And Dean from Cali, are you back?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty, then. Okay. This is for the second half of my segment. I really would like to ask you guys a question. Professor Jones had to leave, and you know, I wish him the best this evening. Do you feel that although the players are definitely, and I'm going to ask this question because there is something I want to bring up behind it, if the LA Clipper players themselves actually took a stance and all collectively decided not to play until something was done about this, and also in addition to that, is a fine for this man enough, or do you feel that they should demand that he sell his shares in the NBA league? In the NBA league. So I'm going to start with you. Would that make a difference, in your opinion, Al Tariq?
The way that, you know, it's just kind of hard to really say because of the way that the NBA rules are drawn up, and I remember different conversations that they've had about that. So, you know, if you, like, say something that can disrupt the organization and all that type of stuff I heard over the last few days, that can cost you money out your own pocket. So they have all these different rules inside of the franchises they pay for and contracts about how they deal with the media even. So it's more to it than we even understand, actually. You know, so there are wonderful things that we really don't even deeply understand ourselves. So I feel as though that would be the right way to take, if it was a way that you could take it that way. But the way that they set up things, you know, the owners and the big wigs are going to set up certain things where they don't make it easy for you at all, you know, to be able to do certain things, especially if they're found wrong or something. They're going to protect their behinds, and you know they have these lawyers, like panels of lawyers and stuff, so you have to go through a lot of red tape, and I'm pretty sure that the athletes themselves, they really don't really want to go through all that when it comes down to it. It's just sad because they don't have enough power as far as an organization within, as far as them being players, to sway enough, because you see how the lockout went and everything, you know, and that was about their money issues and them not getting enough, and they gave them a couple little more pennies, you know, a couple little bit of more change, and, you know, they went ahead and settled. But it would really fall on the players in order to make a true change. But the thing is, will the players do it? That's the question.
Yes.
More so than anybody, because if the players don't play, fans won't come or anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andrew. I thought you were going to go ahead.
That's the true question, where the players stand, because if they stood, now that would make us the biggest impact on the league.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the question, where they stand. And I just don't see them taking a full all the way out stand like that. You know?
And I'm sure that would be a definite scary thing for them to do. But I did ask the question for a reason, so I got your answer. Salo, you're up.
Please restate the question so I can say what I wanted to say.
It's actually a two-part question. A, do you feel that if the L.A. Clippers collectively decided to, I guess, call it a strike if you want to, until something was that this was taken seriously, and also not just that this man just accepts the fine. I think that's not stiff enough. This man is a millionaire or multi-billionaire. This man can afford a fine. Now, I believe, I personally believe they should really push and not take anything less than him selling his shares. How can you possibly feel good for working or doing whatever with a man that doesn't like anybody he's playing for? And in every essence, it's blatantly calling it a plantation. But anyway, my question is, do you believe it would make a vast difference if the players collectively decided to go against the rules to play and not play?
I think that is the difference, and I think that is the that's the card that we hold, and I think they have to do it, you know, and I think they should, and I think they will if they really analyze the situation. That's the only way. The thing is, okay, we debated about a decade ago, more than likely or more, whether these guys are to be role models and icons, whether we should stand for them. See, the real reason they was bringing that up is because whether as a people should we stand for the NBA, all right, sanctioning and signing black players, because black players were taking over the league, and that was a buck in power going on. Magic Johnson is a symbol of that buck in power. Michael Jordan is a symbol of the assimilation into the corporations. Allen Iverson is a symbol of the buck in power. I put Melo on that level as well in certain ways. Like in the reality of it, they already question, are they role models? And they've been finding our black brothers and most likely sisters, but I can't think of any, but black brothers and sisters in these athletic fields for so-called negative statements, cultural things. These people are being slandered. We knew it was coming, so we questioned it, and we were supposed to get the logistics down then. But now what we have now is a similar question. Yes, they are role models, and they are parts of the black community. They can't separate themselves via the money or via their association with the NBA. So what they have to do, and if they, you know, what they have to do is take a stand. Once they take a stand, collectively, then our power as fans is immediately felt. It's not about if we, you know, because at the end of the day, we should affect them, but like the professor said earlier, it would affect the bottom line, so it would take time. We would have to wait for it to affect them, and then they would create the format for them to change. We now create the format, all right? Now, when you come into, you see, at the end of the day, they stepped into a realm like, okay, when the players locked out, that was a black-white thing, but nobody wanted to put a black-white label on it, because if they did that, it might have compromised, you know, their future proceedings, or might not have, but I know what they were thinking. Now, look at this. This is an actual black and white. You know what I mean? So what's really going on is various opportunities for them to take the right stand that they need to take. Right now, as soon as they take the stand, first of all, they got a hostile work environment, first of all, because they work for the corporation, and they work for people that's making these statements. Any NBA player, period, can say this, because this owner of any team, period, okay? So everybody is under anybody who works for them, period, in any fashion is under hostile work environment right now. But most people have already signed the arbitration thing, and they can't arbitrate in certain ways without going via their arbitration. But you can refuse still. You know, just because you signed that doesn't make it legally binding over federal law. So if they were to take a stand, all right, and other people also were to take a stand, hostile, racially discriminatory, these environments where people are going to be, like, now it's blatant. And this is all people needed, really. All lawyers, like, most people not thinking about it because they never thought something like this would happen. In reality,
absolutely.
They never thought it would be so sweet.
You touched on something that I was going to bring up after I get the last panelist, the last panelist's opinion. But you stay right there, because actually what I'm about to say next falls along those lines. And you, Dean, what's your opinion?
Yeah, again, I agree that the basketball players have no power. I'm looking at the board of governors and the owners. They're the one with the power and whatnot because of the way, like the brother was saying, the way things are set up. If players do a walkout mm-hmm. or say, I'm not going to play a game, they're going to be fined, and they can defraud their contract and whatnot, and they can hurt their money. But the way it's set up now, like Al Sharpton, I'm probably going to go up there tomorrow and stand in front of the Staples Center or whatever. But the Board of Governors has the power. Like they can do a lifetime suspension, you know, and a $2 million fine ain't gonna hurt this man or whatever. But they can do, like, if one owner puts in a written thing, he has 5 days to respond and whatnot. But an owner can start this process where they can take away his franchise. So the power mm-hmm. is with the owners, and the power is with the Board of Governors and stuff like that. It only mm-hmm. takes like a fourth of the Board of Governors. So they're the one with the power. The basketball players themselves, again, they have no power at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we shouldn't leave them alone.
Thank
all
you.
Of these
now,
options.
Governmentally, in this particular situation, on the surface, you guys are absolutely correct. Absolutely. We know this. They definitely make these players sign things because certain things in the sports arena, in the industry world, is definitely going to be high-powered. It's definitely going to be controversial many times. You're dealing with the public, thousands of people. Now, here's the difference between what we do and what they do. Now, do you guys remember, I know maybe many of you don't follow this particular sport, but were all of you aware that Madison Square Garden in New York City had a huge problem with a hockey lockout? Wow, I got no response. Crickets. Okay.
I respect the lockout.
All right. The hockey lockout. The players were not happy with certain things in their contract, and every single player, knowing they had the same terms of their contract as players, walked out and would not play until they sat down and came to an agreement. I can tell you that because it was all over the newspapers. It was all over the sports book.
Yeah.
ESPN couldn't stop talking about it. Madison Square Garden, the governmental and operational livelihood depended on it, okay? They mm-hmm. did not play. Now, let me ask you a question. With all of this power that they hold over this contractual property, because that's what these players are to these bigwigs, right? do you really believe that with all the non-power that we perceive them not to have, that, A, if every single player, especially their top players, was to take this stand, regardless of their monetary loss for the moment, because let's face it, these guys may hurt, but they're not going to hurt that long. Do you think that they really could go after every single person and suspend all these players for massive games on end, every single one of them? Really? Would they do that? I'm going to ask.
That would be a massive lawsuit.
Do you think they really could? That's number one. Okay? Number two. Stalo, you touched on a point. You didn't quite go on my full train, but you definitely there. They signed up to be careful what you say or how you answer the press. But did any of these players expect that they were going to be subjected to outright racism, hostile environments? Did they expect
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Really, did they? And
did
why
they?
Is
no,
it
they
that
did
we're
that.
The only people who don't know how to read between the lines or refuse to read between the lines because we're too busy worried about how much zeros is on the end of a contract offer? When do
we
as people
for them.
Say that sometimes the money isn't worth it?
Mm-hmm.
When do we
why
say
make
that?
Excuses for them?
When do we say that? That's my question. When do we say sometimes it's worth bending the rules to get a point across, a real important point? This is the type of point that affects the generations to come, that affected the generations before us. That's my question.
Right.
So, obviously, I don't care if you're black or you're white. I believe that if the difference with this outright and covert racist environment that we live in, okay, I definitely believe that Caucasian players might have a little sweeter deal in their contracts. But I can guarantee that every single one of them has a universal rule to keep their damn mouth shut when it comes down to talking to the press, when it comes down to the way you're supposed to be acting as a representative of this franchise. Okay, but I can guarantee you that the hockey players certainly locked out over 23 games.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that as much as each of them had to pay a fine, that they were going to be forced to sit out and really lose that much money? Do you think that any person could sit there and suspend their entire work field?
Right. It's not possible.
And that's where we
ain't no one even thought about that.
Okay? They did not sign up to be called niggers to their face. They did not
right.
sign up to hear publicly that their boss, their owner, the ones who smile on their face and say, hey, put on this jersey, go jump for me.
They couldn't sign up for that.
They didn't sign up for that. They didn't sign up to be called slaves pretty much outright. In 2014, they didn't sign up for that. And you tell me if we weren't as savvy or as technical loophole seeking as our counterparts are, that they wouldn't be able to have a technical loophole to be able to take their stand and still protect their livelihood.
Right.
That's
now,
our problem.
For the people that want the microwave solutions or the microwave intellectual people, like all of these options, they're not exclusive. They're all inclusive. And not only are they inclusive, they're necessary. Like, we have to. Okay. At this point, he is, like, this statement alone is so against, you know, the Constitution and civil law and civil rights and stuff. It's like so blatant that if people are starting to make excuses for it, they're really the most delusional. You know, they think that everybody else is delusional, like, oh, they're surprised, oh, you shouldn't be surprised. No, you're the most delusional to believe that this is okay, or this is the way things just are, or that we don't have all these plethora of options. We have a plethora of things, and the thing is, those players, all those people, the reason they put those arbitration documents into effect is because they want to keep, you know, they want to keep bullcrap lawsuits out of federal court. They don't want it to get out because they don't want it, if it's really not racist and if it's only on the borderline, they don't want it to get out. This is not the borderline. This has to come out. So if you're suppressing it with those arbitration documents, you're automatically infraction of the law anyway. Really, if we really wanted to get into it, all the way across the board, we win. But everybody feels like they lost already. All the way across the board.
Yeah, absolutely right. We do operate under the defeated mode every now and then, more so often than not. But I'll tell you this, hockey, what's the difference between that sport and ours? You don't find very many black hockey players. And I can tell you one thing, that particular franchise stood their ground. And right now, they're carrying New York since the Knicks are out of the playoffs.
Mm.
At least for the Madison Square Garden side of things. But I will tell you that they did. It was hot sports teams all over the place. You don't think those guys had risk of contractual breach? But it was a lot more important to them to get their needs met because they are taking, you know, hits to the face. They are known for getting into these brutal fights on the ice. It is ice to start with. They're on skates with blades. And they felt that for all that they do, they weren't getting fair pay or fair conditions. And they stood their ground. And things happened. I'm sure he decided but I will say that whatever it was, they got enough of their demands met to have respun and rejuvenated the hockey season.
Did you say it was the whole league?
I'm sorry?
The whole league?
I'm sorry, maybe my end, so can you repeat that for me?
Was it the whole league?
The entire league. They all collectively decided they would not get on that ice till those people up in the higher offices sat there and listened to what they were complaining about. The entire league.
That's the biggest difference you're talking about. that makes all the difference in the world, because it was the entire league they was moving as one. But it'll be separate from here because the other people say, well, hey, that's not a problem with our franchise. That's a problem with the L.A. Clippers.
No. What I meant was, it was the entire team, I should say.
Hmm.
It was the entire team.
Within the NHL, right?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Not the whole league, just the team.
Understand that each, you know how it goes, football season, basketball season, baseball season. It was hockey season, and the next season was coming to an end because basketball was over. There was no hockey season because there was a lockout in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the whole league then. Yeah, that was the whole hockey league. But the Clippers, this is just like just dealing with the Clippers. And everybody else, they're not going to let that mess with their money. They're going to say, well, the Clippers organization has to deal with this.
No.
It's true, but see, even with that, there's a whole lot to be said. It's just the, even if it was just the Clippers. And you know something? I'm going to tell you why. You just brought up the protocol. There would have to be board of directors or board of governors or whatever it is, and other owners. Well, we already know other owners are not on board with it. So if the Clippers decided to add on to that, it would really force the higher-ups who's busy going, we really have to find out. These are alleged allegations. Okay? It would force them to say, wait a minute. Already now, the only reason why it's getting so much play is because it's not just a one or two people on the outside that's affected by this. It's major fan base, including non-African Americans. It's other owners. It's the coaches. It's the news reporters. It's the sportscasters. So it's bigger than just this one man being, the, you know, what you expect of him this one time around. This one, I don't think they're going to be able to sweep under the rug so quickly. But I think that now that this is hot is when all the people who can do something should.
Hmm.
And I don't think...
Well they should start with him admitting that it's his voice.
I don't think they should let this man get off with a fine. He is known
But wouldn't it be something that hasn't been proven that was him yet? Because right now he's saying it's still alleged. It would be something if it turns out that she was just a jealous girlfriend and it was somebody else's voice pretending to be him. So we don't know that that's not the case. So that would be real messed up. But,
you
know, the party has the right to make him come under oath and say that was his voice or was it not his voice. They should start with that because they do have that power.
They should start with getting a forensic specialist in voice matching, right? Mm-hmm. But let me ask you something. Would Magic Johnson have been afforded this? If Michael Jordan was at the end of this, would they have said that we have to find out if it's an alleged whatever?
If President Obama, they would, you know, if President Obama's voice was like that, you know they'd be all over it.
Yeah.
Would give them a chance.
Thank you. And
they
that's the president of the United States, which, by the way, I was a little bit disappointed with him. But then on the other hand, he sort of came back with a backup, you know, period in the statement that sort of redeemed him a little bit. But he did say something people don't like to hear for some reason. He did say racism is alive and well, and we are operating under that on a daily basis. So kudos to you, President.
What I would like to add, too, is, like, the person with the real power is Adam Sterling or whatever, or Silver. So Adam Silver has the power.
Yeah.
So now it's our job to put pressure on the person with the power that can do something. All these other people we're talking about really don't have any power. So the person that has the power, why don't we focus on him and put letters to him, a petition to him, like Al Sharpton going to do, stand in front of him, and demand a response from the owners or players or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones with power to do stuff, not the players. So let's focus on the people who really have power to do stuff.
And so do the fans, because all them players can jump around, but who are they jumping around for? Who are they jumping around for, Dean? They ain't jumping around for their owners. It's not the owners that the owners are trying to bring into the stadium.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
See, but again, the like the players don't have any powers. What I'm saying, because the people with the power,
they
listen to this on them.
They may not have
the
power
owners and the governors.
They may not have power to make a decision, because I'm quite sure if they did.
Like you were saying, the fans can show up and make them do
that
something.
Power, that man would have been out of the way. What I'm saying to you is they may not have the power administratively, but they have the power to take a stand as a collective unit.
Under oath.
I'm talking about we might be saying that, but officially look at the records what their power is. Like, let's look at open up the books, the NBA bylaws.
The Montgomery, Alabama boat boycott, the bus boycott, were they any players under contract?
I'll say this about that boycott. A lot of the preachers were the only ones that stood up because they didn't work for people. So they the only ones could talk because the church was paying them and not their jobs. A lot of people would show up and say, I can't show up because I got to go to work.
Right, and that's all she did. She didn't move because she can utilize her human rights. I'm tired, my feet hurt, and I'm not moving. And you know what? When she got arrested, the boycott happened. And then what happened, Dean?
And
all they did was take away bus fare.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
We're talking about a franchise, and to really make a dent, you gotta like, if your child do something, you gotta go to the parent. The child ain't gonna police themselves. So the person with the real power, if we don't go after them, we just like doing rhetoric, you know, and stuff like that, just saying it sounds good, but to really do something, the person with the power is the one that's gonna have to do something.
Yeah,
the only the governors.
Writing letters sound good, too, but in the age of technology where nobody opens a physical letter anymore, how far would that go? Is the letter needs to be backed up with some action? And us writing a letter saying, we're pissed off about what he said. Here, where's my ticket and where's my sneakers?
Again, direct it to the person, and it will make some, like, you go petition or you go, march in front of their building. And put his name on the line, like go in front of his house or go in front of his business and say, you got the power. And that will force these guys to do something because now they know who we are. We know who they are. Their names are out there.
And
so we
also
know these people who can do something. So now the pressure is on for them to really do something because we know who they are.
Okay, and being down to our last 3 minutes, let me just bring up a little point to the analogy you made from the parent standpoint, right? Our child, you can tell a child, go do your room, but if you don't sit there and make sure they do it, how quickly is that child going to go do something?
You got to get the parent to do it, exactly, which is the commissioner, which is the board of governors.
In this particular situation, Sterling is the naughty child. So if everybody from all ends don't sit there and parent his ass, we're going to be right back to square one. And this man is going to get away with paying a fine and going right back out there and doing it again.
I like that analogy.
For these people,
you need a whooping like back in the day, though. Everybody in the neighborhood had power to whoop them. Say, you out of order. Exactly.
The one thing we need to do is start realizing that we need to utilize power we do have and stop looking to storm the damn mountaintop we've never had access to. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Thank you all for joining the panel tonight. And I do appreciate you all, and God bless.
Peace.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.